Hey, everybody. It is, it's Bob Saget's here for you. This is that podcast. And I am so happy to be doing this show. I just love doing it. It's a show. Well, it's a conversation. And I have only one time had a guest reoccur, and that was Joel McHale. And this is a guest that I really wanted to talk to again, part because I adore him and he's so talented. And the other part is it's a do-over for me because the last time we spoke, it was very early in the morning, and I read comments, okay? I'm admitting it. I read them in the YouTube comments, and it said, let Randy talk. He's a genius. Let him talk. And so I attempt to do this on this episode. He is so damn talented. Go to randyrainbow.com if you're not familiar and check out his videos. He is going back on the road. He has an amazing stage show, but it's going to be all new. And he's performing at theaters literally all over the U.S. And they're going to be amazing shows. He's playing some really perfect theaters. He sold out the Beacon in New York. He's booked another one. He's doing another one there. He's playing a lot of places. He'll be at the Warner Theater in Washington. Just a lot of just beautiful theaters. Playing at Opera House, I believe. Where is that Opera House? I'm looking it up right now. Oh, it's in St. Louis. That only took an hour. And he'll be at the Paramount in Denver. All these great theaters. So go to randyrainbow.com. Check that out. And, of course, the new podcast coming up in the next couple months with Sean Hayes, as well as a lot of other projects. He is super talented, and it's an honor to have him on again. You know what to do, by the way, before I bring him into the show. You rate, review, you subscribe, and you can say whatever you want. Maybe it'll stay on the page. And I'm sending you my best, and thanks for listening. And I'm never going to stop doing this because I love doing this show. Here comes the one and only. If you're not following him, go to Twitter, Instagram, and follow Randy Rainbow, exactly as you would expect it to be spelled. And you will adore him. Here he comes, my new friend that I made this year, actually, Randy Rainbow. Randy.
Babala.
Randala.
Yeah, darling.
You're now, adorable.
I feel like gluttonous that you're having me back. I mean, I'm like a regular on this program already. It's not fair.
Because you're my hero.
And, oh.
And you were patient because you're the second person I've had twice and the podcast also. But I had, yeah, right. That was my
list. Who's number one?
Joel McHale did it first because isn't he just lovable?
And he's nice. He likes my things on Twitter and things, but I've never actually met him or anything. I love him so much. I'm a fan. I'm so appreciative of his likings.
I will arrange a shidduch.
You must.
I must. So I'm not going to talk a lot because if it happens, it happens. But last time I got critiques and I listened. I listen when people give suggestions. I talked a lot. It was early in the morning. I was very tired and hyper. It was early for you. And you were not in the place that you're in now, which is, it wasn't even a good view because we were both like.
First of all, you're going on about all these comments you got that you didn't shut up. This was not my experience. So I don't want you to be overly conscious of this because now I am overly conscious that now I'm just going to be left here alone. So you're not talking and I don't know what to say.
I'm not talking, Randy. That's what they told me. I have to listen to the herd.
That's not nice to me.
Okay.
Then but I did not have that experience. I found you just perfectly engaging and we were very tired. Maybe I was just asleep. I don't know. But I did not hang up and say, fucker, I did not shut up. The way you're carrying on. But I will say this. I got off after it aired. My mother watched it because she goes, everything I do, she has to watch. And so she watched the YouTube thing, the video. And she called me after and she said, I just watched the Bob Saget podcast. And I said, wasn't that great? And it's Bob Saget. And I've loved him for so long. And we're friends and we're talking. It's all, isn't that great? I was so excited. And she goes, wonderful. She said, I have notes. Apparently I gestured too much. She said, you use your hands too much. Your hands were all over the place. So I'm already very self-conscious about my hands. I'm strapping in.
And I talk too much. So besides,
and you talk too much, and she didn't like, and she also said, and Bob's lighting was so good. Why did your lighting was not good? I said, something about your podcast just brings terrible criticism. And I'm really nervous about this whole experience.
If my mother was alive, she would go, I love Randy Rainbow. That's what she would say.
That's nice. And my mother loves you. She loves me, but she had notes. We didn't talk for 2 days because of that. I said, you know what, Ma? Keep your notes. I don't need notes. I felt like terrible. So now you don't talk and I will not gesture. And
it's going to be like a wax museum.
It's going to be so awkward.
My mother hasn't given me notes for like 8 years because we lost her.
Well, that's
Randy, get me through this.
Sorry. I got nothing.
You got a lot, because when we talked, it was a sad time.
Yeah. Well, I had just done the Seasons of Trump video. That's why I was so tired. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think where that was in the timeline of this horror show that we're coming out of now. But it was, it was miserable. We're starting to get better now though, right?
We're How coming out of How it.
I feel a little better.
Yeah, I could feel it. The fact that you just did a video in tribute to Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had to.
How can you not?
Can you believe that shit, Bob?
And then she responds, and then she loves you.
I don't know what to She's my religion. She's my everything. So that, there's nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. I have to just end it after this podcast.
I have to ask you, are you mad at Nikki Arnstein for not knowing how great she was?
I don't like to get political, but... Well, we'll do the after show. I'll let you know how I feel about that. But are you a Barbara person? This is how I gauge how much I respect people.
When I saw Funny Girl, I knew what everybody knew. I didn't see her in the play.
That you were gay.
I knew that I was gay.
Okay.
I knew that if I had a do-over, I don't know what would happen right now. I mean, talking to you, I think I'd cross the river. But my wife's upstairs and I think I'm signed off.
It's speaking in code, but I think that you're hitting on me, and I think that's great.
It was my way of saying that you would be number one on the list if I was to cross the river, because you're first thing, you dress the best.
Well, are you talking about my shmata that I'm wearing now, or my Amazon Prime costumes from my videos?
All of it.
Okay.
I absolutely adore you.
It's so mutual.
I feel so much better. You have kind of, during this quarantine, you were already an established person doing shows and theaters, and I'm beyond excited that you're going back on tour in a big way, Randy.
I can't believe it. I thought that I was going to be playing Dwayne Reeves for the first month to a year. I didn't know, and I would have happily. But the fact that, you know, people are buying tickets, they want to see shows. We sold out. I mean, the Beacon Theater here in New York, that was one of the greatest nights of my life. I have right behind me, there's a picture of my marquee. Mm-hmm. And I look at it, and I've looked at it for the last year and a half. And I just think like, oh God, will I ever get that to do that again? And, well, you know, like Sondheim was in the audience and Lawrence O'Donnell, like the most, just the craziest, most amazing hodgepodge of people. And sure enough, we sold out in the first day tickets were on sale. We added a second show to the Beacon. So
I saw that. And
that to me is the barometer for happiness.
I am felling because I looked at the places you're playing, and you really go, you start hardcore in August, is right? That's when you're hitting the tour?
Yeah, end of August, we do Florida.
And you're going to places I'm going to, the Ruth Eckert in Clearwater and the Florida Theater in Jacksonville.
Do we overlap at all ever?
Too bad it won't be like within a day. I don't think so. I'm soon. I'm like in 3 weeks.
Now, you've been touring around, haven't you?
I started. I opened up places that didn't care.
About anything?
I was in Texas.
Okay. How is it? What's doing?
It was amazing. The Texans, that was in Houston. I opened a club there and we did 4 or 5 shows and they said they'll just shoot COVID right in the mask hole. They don't care. They'll just shoot it.
It's the safest place you can be. Awesome.
Pretty much. But you're going to places you are going to. Have you done any shows live yet?
Yeah, no. No, no, I'm not ready. That's one of the things that's keeping me occupied is we're putting a whole new show together. So end of August is when it starts. And that's, I'm not a minute sooner. I will not.
How do you go about it? Do you rent a space to do it?
No, well, we will, in August, we'll end up in a rehearsal studio with our musicians and everything. But right now it's just me and my musical director, Jesse Kissel. We're also doing an album right now. So I'm writing a book. And you know what happened during COVID? I was sitting around in my underwear and just agreed to everything. And so people said, oh, well, you'll write a book. I said, oh, sure, I'll write a book and then you'll do an album. Yeah, great idea. And then we'll do a tour. Fabulous. And now I'm like, I fucking actually have to do all of this and it's all due on the same day. So now I'm really... really upset with myself that I said yes to anything.
You signed up for finals. You're basically in finals.
Yeah. What did I do to myself? This is so dumb. But by this fall, I will feel very accomplished and have lots of credits to my name. But we are just wrapping up my musical director is wrapping up his work on the album stuff now. I'm starting to record and he is going to go into the tour phase and then I will meet him when I'm done. So it's a whole system we got going.
Well, I am going to see it. I have to come to it. I know you're doing the Orpheum in LA.
Yeah.
I'll either do that or the Beacon in New York, but I can't miss it because is it a culmination also besides some favorites from the past shows? Is it also the videos? Are you going to be singing those hit songs? Because they are hits.
Yeah, that's it. Well, this is going to be sort of a walk down memory lane. It's going to go a little bit into my backstory, which I never really did in any of these concerts because I didn't think that anyone cared. But I've come to learn over the past few years. Oh, God, look how I'm gesturing. I'm about to be so mad.
It's good. And I bet you read the comments, too.
I won't.
Smart.
I've learned doing my Q&As that people actually do, people in my audience anyway, want to hear a little bit about who the fuck I am and where I come from and all of this. So I will talk a little bit about how this all came to be and why I do what I do. And then I'll go into, we sort of have different segments of big medleys that we're putting together. So there's the kind of early Randy section, then it goes into the Trump year section and we go through all of that shit in one giant medley. With video stuff coming in and out as I sing. Mm-hmm. And then we go into COVID years. It's a very depressing show. but it will sort of take everyone on the journey that we've all been through together. But this show, I will also, because if we're doing this album, I'll have some songs from the album and some original stuff that I'm writing with, I can't even believe it, Mark Shaiman, first of all. And I wrote a new song for this album.
Yep.
And for the first time, I wrote a song with Alan fucking Menken.
Holy shit.
What? We wrote the Pink Glasses song for the Pink Glasses tour. It's going to be on the album and it's going to be on this tour. So I'll be debuting all of that stuff in this show. So it's going to be everything. Everything you could ever wish for.
I am so excited for you and you deserve it so much because I know the backstory is since you were a little kid, you thrived on Broadway songs and on musicals. Can you share a little bit of that?
Yeah, that was just my, that's what nourished me and nurtured me and got me through, you know, all the hardships of childhood and being bullied on the playground and my father, who was basically Donald Trump. That's how I got through, is with, you know, music and comedy and musical comedy. And so the fact that I now, you know, life brought me on this journey that I'm now, have used those things to try to help people through, you know, at a time when the country's been getting bullied on the playground and the world has been. And I'm using those same exact tools that helped me. I mean, it's a very full circle, serendipitous fate kind of thing, that ride that I'm on. So I'm very cognizant of it. I wasn't at first, but you know, as the years go by, I'm like, well, this, especially writing this book, I'm looking back on it with new perspective and I'm putting all these things together. And it's like, it's amazing that I wound up doing this and it worked out somehow. It's fabulous.
Some would say it's not amazing that it was, you know, it was the plan for you.
Yes, that's the real thing.
Because you had so much energy. I was a pretty hyper kid. I would assume you were.
At times, I wasn't really what some might expect. I still, you know, people think that I'm a show off and out and flamboyant all the time. After a couple of drinks, yes, I have moments. But I'm kind of shy and quiet at my core.
I guess I am as well. I sure was this morning. That's
why
I'm glad we didn't talk this morning.
What was this morning?
This morning was getting up after having done 5 shows and being exhausted from travel and no sleep. And that's what you're going to have to look forward to in just a couple months. And you're going to be so amazing because you get to get that feedback because you gave out so much during this year to people. You know it.
That's so, I can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. There's something, you know, there is something also just because of the nature of what I've been doing and the content and people are, I am so grateful to say, very grateful for this work. I think that's, you know, speaks to, first of all, the fact that I'm great, but also the healing quality of this kind of material and people mm-hmm. so appreciate it. And there is, when I do my live shows, there is that, you know, transfer of love that is, I can't wait for. You talk to me again in 2 months. I'll be over it and ready to fuck.
I will talk to you because I will email or text or whatever or call, but you're going to be so happy. You do something that is a real art. And it's not easy to do, and the best artists do it. You're able to take something that's, especially political stuff, that so many people get angry with any mention of it, but you are, some people call it bashing people, but you're not. You're actually stating the truth, and yet you do it with joy and love. So even the people you're bashing, you're somehow doing this love fest for them.
That's interesting. I think the main secret to that success, if that's true, is that the main ingredient of my recipe is not the politics. It's not really the subject matter. I have opinions on it. Sometimes I'm more passionate than others times about whatever I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But the main thing that I'm doing is having a fabulous time doing what I love to do. And doing the material that I, as a kid, you know, fantasized about being able to do, and plugging myself into like little mini movie musicals. That's the basis of what I'm doing. And I think that translates. So when people come to my live shows and they say, my mother, who's a Republican, loves you. I'm like, don't act so surprised. I'm not surprised by that because what comes from the heart goes to the heart, or however that goes. Yeah. And she recognizes that I'm having a great time and that it's coming from and it's all in good fun and good spirit. And So yeah, I'm not so surprised by that, but that's it. If I were an angry, like, political person, pundit, mm-hmm. I don't think this would work.
No. And there's no way to sing songs from Fiddler, you know, or all the musicals you do, and do them in an angry way. You're smiling through some of the lyrics right. that could be considered so derogatory. It's just,
right.
I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene, it was a ballad.
I just wanted to put on a wig from, you know, A Star Is Born and sing a Barbra Streisand ballad. That's what that came from. Happened to be about Marjorie Taylor Greene being an asshole.
I don't know. I think she's really come to her senses.
I'm really happy with how it's going with her.
Yeah, I think she's great. I think she found out things like the Holocaust happened. I think she found that out.
Yeah, great. You know, when she made that announcement saying that I have just learned that the Holocaust happened.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Really? I guess she missed Schindler's List. I can't figure it out.
She's fabulous. She's right on top of that.
I'm just telling you, you're going to get back what you've been giving, because you've been in your apartment making these amazing videos, and then people that you look at and I respect, and I retweet them as soon as I get them and see them, because people need to see it, because it got a lot of people, anything that can make people smile and get them through this time, you did it. I mean, I would see Ben Stiller, there were a lot of people who don't like to go political. They like to feed the kids and save the world, but they might not bring up politics. You're one of the few people that people would retweet and send out because of the love and the comedy, and you're fucking talented.
Thank you so much, Rob. Well, you've brought me so much joy over the years. It's nice to hear that from you. And the people that you're talking about too. I mean, that's so thrilling to me, and I don't take that lightly. And you know, like Ben Stillers of the world, who, like you say, just are there to do good and mm-hmm. and don't really, you know, get political on their social media. And they do. I do notice that they share my stuff, and I'm honored by that. I think that's special.
Who blew you away the most? Was it someone well known, or was it someone that was struggling with a family? I'm sure you hear from people like that. That must bring you a great feeling.
No, just celebrities.
I agree.
No, you mean who did I hear from? Who
yeah,
really?
Well, I mean, what touched you? What people, famous or definitely not, that really affected you?
I mean, there's two answers. I mean, I'm thinking about Barbra, who just tweeted me that things like that blow my mind, because that's the whole reason I do what I do is because of the people that I looked up to.
Right.
So when I hear from, yeah.
Do you remember her comment by heart? Have you memorized it?
It was, dear Randy, your creative and musical, your something and musical creativity are like butter. With many thanks and warmest regards, B. Because that's how we refer to each other, B. But so stuff like that. Bernadette Peters is on my new album. I was just in her apartment last week rehearsing with her. I don't know how the fuck that happened. What is that?
That's going to be more of it. I mean, as soon as you brought Patti LuPone
was in my apartment. What is happening, Rob? I'm on the phone with you. I don't understand. I think I didn't make it. I think I died, and I don't know what's happening now. It's crazy.
No, you're starting to live. You're going to get out of the apartment, and you're going to be on a tour, and you're playing some of the nicest. You're playing the Warner Theater in Washington. That's one of my favorites. The Chicago Theater is.
I love the Warner.
The Warner is one of my favorite. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
But I want to answer the second part of that question.
Please, please.
Because it's not just celebrities, mm-hmm. although that thrills me. But when you talk about what moves me the most, when I do my live shows and I, you know, talk about the Patti LuPones and the Bernadette Peters, I was a little kid little kid, I was a teenager, in the audience of their shows whenever they would come on tour, or I would go come here to New York and see them. So when I do a live show and there are teens or young, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-olds dressed up like me, wearing the pink glasses, and you know, the parents tell me, "Oh, you're a role model," and that kills me. There's no greater compliment that you can pay me, and that goes, you know, that is very lovely and fulfilling.
Well, you're also a person that tells kids, teenagers, that it's okay to be who you are and embrace it and love it. And there are people in this world that you do something unusual. Your talent is unusual because you come out, you're dressed as women, men, look beautiful sometimes, a lot of times.
Sometimes.
All the time, all the time. Sorry, when you hold your hand still. But sorry, back to your mom. Your mom. What's your mom's name?
Gwen,
of course
she's
it is.
She's watching this right now, so let's.
Gwen, you look beautiful.
Thank you. Sorry about the hands. I know I did it too much already. Okay.
But I'm saying it's a wonderful thing for people to not live in the fear of their lives anymore if they find themselves. I mean, we just came off of a month of Gay Pride Month, which is, I think, more significant now than it probably ever was. Am I wrong there, or does it always feel that way?
You mean this particular year?
Coming out of COVID, that some people are coming out for the first time during this year because the year changed them.
I'm sure that's true. Yeah. It always feels very significant to me for some reason or another, whether it's what's going on in the news or, you know, but I missed this is the second Pride in a row that we didn't have the big New York thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I felt this year was kind of a lack of that gathering. Although people did gather and stuff and go to bars and things, but they didn't have the parade. And so I'm looking forward to that returning.
It'll be strong.
But you know what? To what you just said about being yourself and talking about my mother, and now I'll pay her a compliment. She'll be very happy. But that really is a testament to my upbringing and the safe environment and nurturing environment that she and my grandmother created for me. Because I guess I was not always as comfortable or confident to dress in drag or wear lipstick or whatever I do. I don't think about it now. I do it because it's just part of my art and it's fun and I want to. And sometimes I look really cute. It's great. but I don't have anything that stops me. But I do hear from these parents who bring their children, they specifically thank me for that. And they say, thank you for being unabashedly being yourself and wearing the lipstick. I hear lipstick all the time. I got to do a lipstick line. But I don't think about it. And I think, and that makes me take stock of what's going on in here and think, oh, wow, I guess I reached a place without even really knowing it.
Right.
Where I'm confident enough to do that.
And that's what I wish for everybody, because I think there'd be less hate in the world if people could be their most human self.
After this, what we've just been through, I don't know why, what would stop anybody or make anyone want to continue to oppress people or suppress anything about anybody. Everyone should just, you know, have a great time.
I agree.
Cliche, but be your damn self.
It's denial, it's anger that can't go away because it's inset. It just was there. I mean, you were saying your dad was Trumpish in the way he bullied you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He would not be proud of what's so successful and about to happen for you even in a whole new way. You're not in contact with him, right?
He's passed away.
So that's a no?
No, I think, yes. I don't talk to your mother either. I have a weird thing. But strangely, he was so Trump so much, and he was, I probably said this on the last episode, but he was not an introspective man. But even he said when Trump was all over the news and running for, you know, when he was campaigning, he said, I can't watch him. He reminds me too much of myself. But just his mannerisms, the narcissism, he talked, he sounded like him. I mean, some of the facial expressions, it's very strange. But he was also an entertainer. He was a musician. He was a drummer. He wasn't, although he was shocked when I came out of the closet, he was not, you know, he wasn't completely like totally off the charts homophobic. So he would not be upset by really any of that. And I think that he would be proud, and he did have many moments of being proud of me, but I think he was also very jealous of me. And I think that's what he would be feeling now more than any kind of shame over anything that I'm doing artistically.
That's a shame. It's a shame, but it's nice that you know that he would be proud now.
Oh, yeah. I think that he would. I know he would.
Yeah,
but it was his own mishigas. It was his own, like, he wasn't happy in his own life for many reasons, and that just, you know, turned him into kind of an awful person. But I have more compassion for him, of course, as the years go by, and I can see things.
You're a pretty evolved person, and I want to find out how you got there right after this. I've never done that. Okay, we're back.
I've been watching a lot of Dick Cavett interviews on
YouTube. So have I.
Really?
Yes, on TikTok.
On TikTok?
For some reason, they're on there, and then I go and look them up on YouTube.
That's crazy. I've been watching nothing but Dick Cavett the past week.
That's fascinating to me, because that's what I've been looking at.
That's so funny. I've been watching all Bette Davis.
Mm-hmm. And, she went through hell.
My God. And well, in what way? You mean physically?
No, the business and being an actress and having to fight her way to be who she was, be a strong woman in the industry.
I never really knew that much about her. I just kind of recently-ish, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, kind of got into her films. And these interviews with Dick Cavett are really, I think, the only interviews I had ever seen. Now I'm watching some of her late night, you know, appearances and stuff. But she was awesome. She was a real theater broad. You know, she wasn't that with the Hollywood bullshit. She was really kind of just she was menschy and just like a real person.
I have a short story for the people
that
love comments. I was years ago, I was with my ex-wife at Fred Segal here in LA, which is a clothing store that had a cafe outside. And I had a cousin visit me, cousin Colleen, who is no longer with us. And we're sitting there and she goes, I wish I could have seen a celebrity while I was here. I'm just so disappointed I haven't seen a celebrity. And then all of a sudden, my ex-wife goes, Bette Davis is sitting over there.
When was this?
This is 30 years ago. 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Something crazy. This was, I think, before I was on Full House. So I was like 27 or something. So it was 1987. Not that it matters, but it was a while. And my ex-wife says, should I tell her? I said, tell her what? She said, Bette Davis is over there. And I said, what the hell? I mean, she wants to see someone famous. She tells her Bette Davis is there. Cousin Colleen is up and walking over to Bette Davis.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I got my head in my hands. All of a sudden, Bette Davis tells her to sit down and is talking to her for 10 minutes.
That's crazy.
It was, what did she say? Wonderful. Colleen comes back. I kind of sheepishly wave. I didn't want to go over. And cousin Colleen said, she told me about her family and how things are going and asked me where I'm from and wanted to know all about me. And I'm like, that's the shit.
That's nuts. She was lovely, though. You can tell she was really warm, mm-hmm. probably the opposite of what a lot of people expected of her. But I just love watching her. And I love those Dick Cavett interviews.
Who else did you watch on Dick Cavett?
I'm trying to think who else. Jerry Lewis. I just watched Jerry Lewis last night.
The humble Jerry Lewis.
That's actually a nice interview. I like that interview.
Nice. What was different about it?
I think that people had a respect for Dick Cavett. That you know, like the same way I think when people go on Howard Stern or something, mm-hmm. you get a different kind of version of that. You got the best version of that person when they're with that particular interviewer. That's how I feel about Dick Cavett.
You're right. So,
I don't know. It's just very insightful and easy and just nice.
I saw one that if you haven't seen it, you must. It's Little Richard.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, my grandmother. Richard on Dick Cavett.
Okay.
Comes That's out. Right. And Little Richard says that people don't know, but he discovered the Beatles. He was in England and they opened for him. And he tells that. And then every time Dick Cavett said something, Little Richard said, "Shut up."
I have to watch it.
It's the best.
Oh, my God.
And you just love him from it.
I can't wait.
He was on Full House once, Little Richard.
Really?
We had him there, and he accidentally, in an outtake, Jody Sweetin was on an apple box because she needed to be higher up, and he accidentally hit her and knocked her off the apple box. Jesus. It was like during Good Golly Miss Molly or something. And, and she just went flying, and it was really hilarious, and she was fine. But he was he felt so bad. He was so sweet. He was full of love and so talented.
What an experience. I mean, who was the most exciting guest star for you on that show?
It might have been him, but we had the Beach Boys reunite.
Yeah, that I remember.
John Stamos made that happen because at that time, Brian Wilson wasn't talking to Mike Love or any of the guys Stamos put that together. It was historic for the show, but for music. Full House is where the Beach Boys reunited.
That's so weird, but how amazing. I remember that very vividly.
Who is the most excited? Who got you the most excited of someone that came to one of your shows?
Excited is a weird word because I don't get excited. I just get nauseous. but at the Beacon, Sondheim sat next to my mother. Stephen Schwartz was next to them. Mm. And Barry Manilow came to my show in Palm Springs. That was amazing.
Awesome.
But I'm good now. I just leave my body kind of. I don't think about it. It's not like I enjoy it or I can't think about it. You know. I get very nervous.
If you'd have been younger, it would have been a whole different thing, right? No, you probably would have quieted down as well, right? You wouldn't have known what to do if you met your heroes.
What do you mean if I'd been younger?
If you were 16, you were more of a fan. Like when I was a fan, I would go up to somebody when I was younger. But I don't do that now.
No, I've always been terrified. I would go and wait at the stage door as a teenager, but my mother would then have to say, "Can he take a picture with you?" I'm terrified. It's horrible. It's not a pleasant experience meeting my heroes. I'm having a miserable time with you right now.
Well, you're not alone. I mean, I'm not having a bad time with you, but everyone has a problem.
I'm kidding, but I don't like it. I know some people. I mean, there are times when I enjoy it, like Bernadette Peters at her apartment this past week.
Right.
I was able to calm down a little bit, and then I started to enjoy myself and was able to appreciate it. I have gone to dinners with Sondheim and had a couple of drinks and have been able to, you know, really feel myself and be in my body and appreciate it and have a nice conversation and enjoy it. But usually when it starts out, it's not good.
you realize that some of these shows you're doing major cities, that you're going to have probably more people that you love, that look up, you look up to as far as, you know, icons that are going to go there. Are you prepared for that? And will you maybe try not to hide your inner self?
I will not hide my, you mean like on stage?
Off stage when they come back to say,
they come back.
Hello.
I am, you wouldn't know to look at me. I'm perfectly charming and I seem like I'm totally in control, but inside I'm screaming. So are you saying, well, I try not to do that?
Yeah, maybe overcome it so you could love, because Barbara might be there. I mean, people are going.
No, I will leave.
No, you can't. It's her. Talk, hug her and just try a Randy exercise to just let yourself be loved by these people that you're entertaining the hell out of, especially this year. You gave a gift to so many people. We couldn't wait for another video to come out.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, I it was a gift to me that I was able to do that. It's the only thing that got me through this. But that's a good thing. And I'm going to hear your voice saying that. And I'm going to try that exercise.
That would be my only Obi-Wan Kenobi attempt to tell you is to
let
the love in and let you be you as though you're at Bernadette's apartment.
Right.
Try to, because when you're performing, that's your living room that you're entertaining all those people.
Right. I do. And when I'm on stage, it's okay. When I did LA right before the pandemic hit, I was very sick. It might have been COVID for all I know. I don't know. It was 2020 February. And I was so miserable and sick, and I had to, it was like kind of like an overnight thing. It was not a normal LA trip. Usually I would go and stay and do other things, but this, I had to go and come right back. It was horrible. And Sean Hayes and Eric McCormick were in the audience, which they told me before I went on. So I write about that in my book because it was the most horrifying, miserable experience of my life, because I looked up to them forever. And that was, I told them it was that was a nightmare scenario. I couldn't hear myself. I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what I was doing. You're just like out of control. And there are your heroes and idols just staring at you.
I think people might find it very refreshing, actually.
What? When I'm
that you're shy about it. Not that you're terrified, but that you're not, oh, you just saw my show. You know, some people are hyper and super confident, and others are, I'm in the middle somewhere. I don't know where. But I have to talk about that you're doing this podcast with Sean Hayes, who he's one of the most delightful, wonderful people.
Do you know, what is your history with Sean?
I've just known him over the years. And I've been at parties with him, and he's just always exactly what you see. He's just an adorable, sweet person.
I've come to know that. And I mean, I've just idolized him forever. That won't be surprising to people, but he's been so kind and supportive, and he's just so lovely, and I can't believe that I get to do this project now with him.
But tell me about it. Tell everybody about it. It's a brand new podcast.
It's a brand new podcast through Hazy Mills, which is which is Sean's company, and they're doing lots of podcasts now. They have a huge hit with Smartless, which is Sean, and who else is
Will Arnett and Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman. And we're doing the Randy Rainbow podcast. It's not going to be called that. It's going to be called something else. But we just kind of finalized the whole arrangement. And we're going to just now get into creative. So I don't have too much to report, except it's going to be super fun. And I can't believe I'm working with Johnny.
This is clearly a shift in your life. I mean, do you feel that way? My perception is that you're about to explode in a way that hasn't really happened to you yet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, from your mouth.
No pressure.
Yeah, now I'm really a mess.
You must be the biggest star in the world.
I feel like every year things shift and change as long as I keep at it, you know, and I have. I've kept working hard. So every year, new things happen and new exciting adventures come. But yeah, it is, you know, with for 4 years, it was very heavily, you know, I was the Trump guy and I was YouTube and there were all those adjectives describing me about, you know, internet and this, and I was very much pigeonholed. And I feel that's kind of starting to break away a little bit now. And I'm getting to spread my wings a little bit more and, you know, writing this book and the podcast and the tour. And I have some other, I'm working with Josh Gad, the fabulous Josh Gad, on some thing.
I know. I love him so much.
Did we talk about that last time that we grew up together, me and Josh?
I don't remember, but I think we did. We're because he much, was a why. Guest on here and I adore him. So my name droppery myself might be my sense recall. What I name drop, I must have said.
Yeah.
So what is it that you're doing with Josh?
I don't know if I'm at liberty to discuss it, Bob Saget. But
I have an NDA negating paper here. I okay. could email it to you. That would destroy your NDA.
we're working on something that is kind of you know, it's very beginning stages, but it's animated and it's musical.
Great.
And I think Alan Menken might be involved. So all my dreams are just coming true. But Josh and I grew up, we went to theater camp when we were 12 and 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So
where was that theater camp?
Hollywood, Florida.
I know that town. And is that where you were living?
Yeah, South Florida is where I grew up. Long Island, born. 10 years old in South Florida, and then moved back here at 21.
And so you and Josh were friends during that time?
Yeah, that's where I found him in Hollywood, Florida. And I just loved him. We got along so famously. And then he went off and got super famous and successful. And I was sitting behind a reception desk at an accounting firm, hating him. I've told him this. But now it's starting to work out. So I like him again.
How long were you at the accounting firm? We did not talk about this.
Oh, Jesus. I just wrote about it today. It's horrible. But that was the last job I had before I quit my day job and started doing this full time. But I was there 2.5 years. Before that, I did PR for half a year. And before that, I was a receptionist at a Broadway production firm, and before that I worked at Hooters. I mean, I've been all over the place.
Okay, back that up. So Hooters, what was, this is in the book, I know, but what happened at Hooters?
I worked there. That was my first job. I moved to New York, and the girl who was a childhood friend from Long Island when I was a kid was a Hooters girl, among other things. And she said, you know, the manager is a big queen, and he will love you, and come in for an interview. And sure enough, I got a job, but I didn't know, I was surprised that the job they gave me was as the host. I was the front man at Hooters.
So you didn't wear those shorts?
I'm sorry, I didn't. I wanted to, but I was confined to just khakis and a white polo. But so, the faces on these construction workers and these Wall Street business types that would come in, and there I would be with my little clipboard. They were so miserable. I just disappointed so many men.
It's a dream gig.
It was fun, and I was like the mascot. Because, you know, these poor girls, a lot of them were not happy there. And it was just sort of a nice sanctuary to come visit me at the host stand, you know, just the kind of jovial gay there to kind of be a palate cleanser for them. But it was nice. I made some really good friends there.
Because also it was more of a misogynistic time. I mean, not that it's not still, but people were pretty, you know, they treated women pretty, guys like that would just take advantage and do weird stuff.
Right. Yeah, it was 2002, 2003. So yeah, it's a different.
My God. Time. What's the weirdest thing that happened at Hooters? Do you have something in mind?
I don't want to give the whole book away, my God. But
all right, you don't have to do that.
No, I do want to say, but the most exciting thing, and I won't go into too much detail, but one of my friends who was a waitress was seeing a man who may or may not have been a major star athlete person.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll tell you one of these days. No, I won't tell you.
Was he a married man?
He might have been.
Oh, so he's a widower?
Thank you, yes.
Oh my. I think I know who it is.
Do you really?
If he's a widower.
No, he was not a widower.
Oh, okay. I said a widower.
I was being polite by saying that his wife died. No, he was not. That was the very strange thing. That was another weird thing. I don't think if it were today, they would have been so conspicuous because of there was no social media back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how out he was, and we would be, and I was part of the group, and he would fly us around, and we would go be put up in penthouses and in suites, and he'd send us on shopping sprees. I was a Hooters girl. It was great. It was a nice lifestyle. Yeah.
Is that the title of the chapter? I was a Hooters girl.
It was titled "My Eyes Are Up Here," but then I changed it to "Chicken," and you'll see when you read it why.
Well, the wings.
Well, that's one of the reasons. But the whole chapter, it turned out everything was about. It kept going back to chicken. So, and I was a chicken. I was 22 years old.
Right.
So I thought that was a good title for the chapter.
It's a great title for anything. I mean, comedy is based on chickens and pickles.
Exactly right.
So you are working nonstop right now. You spent this year and a half, probably a year and a half, February a year ago, just making these productions at home. The most noticeable person right now is Bo Burnham, did this Netflix show.
Which I haven't seen, I'm embarrassed to say, but I can't wait to.
I haven't either. I've seen pieces of it and incredibly impressed, some amazing musical things in it. Dealing with the mania. And we got, out of you as an artist, we got the resin of all that. We didn't see the mania. There's no behind the scenes of Randy Rainbow layering himself in 10 times recording. And you would do them, from what you told me last time, like in a 30-hour period, you just would go. Just walk me through. Was it like, did you sleep for 2 days after? Was it painful, or was it both painful and rewarding?
Yeah, both. But I did that. I had that schedule, or that system of just pulling all-nighters and that turnaround for 4 years. I mean, I kind of felt like it was. With that administration, I started it, and I kind of felt it was almost an OCD kind of thing, where I felt like it was a project, and I had to, every major thing that happened, which, as you know, was every other day,
mm-hmm.
I had to cover it in some way. I had to do it. So it was miserable at times, but the reward was so, just creatively, and people would come to my shows, and so it was worth it. And I would do it again. But I would spend a couple of hours writing it and then just stay up all night filming and editing. I now that urgency is not there anymore, and I'm there's still the whole question for 4 years was, what are you going to do when there's no material? There's always material. There's plenty of material now. First of all, I'm working on so many things that I can't do that system right now. But if I wanted to, I totally could, because there's still endless material, but it's nice to not feel the urgency that I was feeling around that anymore. I'm enjoying the creative process more. I have, for the first 4 years, I really just totally did it by myself. Now I have a music director who creates these vocal arrangements for me. I have a music producer. We're like creating actual tracks around me. So we have actual Broadway musicians doing the songs and creating arrangements specifically for me. Before it was just me like throwing together a karaoke track and like, you know, now I'm putting a little more time and effort into it and I'm enjoying the creative process a lot.
I would think it was incredibly cathartic for you because it was for a lot of us when something would come out in the news and we would go like, oh God, I don't know how to deal with this. This is so painful. It's such a lie. It's so hateful. It's so full of hate. And your response was, I got to get to work right away on getting this out as quickly as possible because it was topical as hell because it just happened. So if something happened tomorrow, something crazy that comes from that same area or something else where there's injustice or lying, do you think you would go, you know what? I mean, you never know when the muse hits you, but are you capable now if something insane happens that is somehow comical yet incredibly painful that you would just go to work?
It's a weird time because of all these projects I'm doing, but I think that if something really struck me if I really saw the bat signal, I think that I would probably drop everything and get to work. Yeah. And I would tell my team too, I'd say, put the album, put the tour, everything on hold, and we're going to do this. And they would say, go fuck yourself. But they would do it anyway, because I pay them.
like if, if Trump was able to levitate. And be in the Macy's Day Parade.
I would have to sing of, you know, let's go fly a kite or some shit.
My beautiful balloon. Yeah. Here we are. Not a year, but I don't know how many months ago it was. I should have looked it up. But we're both in a completely different place. I mean, you live same places. But, I mean, you've come out of a dark time. And you're about to explode into all these theaters and all of this work, you must have a sense of peace, more relief.
Relief from which part of it? Yes, being, you're right. But
being
from
holed up in the apartment and not being able to be around people and not being able to be on stage.
Yeah. Right now, to be completely honest, I am still quarantining because I'm locking, not because of COVID, but because I have to lock myself in my apartment to finish a book and an album and get a tour ready. So I still feel like, you know, I have lots of FOMO and I'm seeing my friends go out and I can't, I have to be very, very strict. So I love the fact that I can, and I have, and I go to dinners and all of that. And that,
okay,
that,
you do that. Easy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you've had cocktails.
Not as much as I want to, though. Cocktails, yes.
What's your drink of choice?
You know, really fruity vodka bullshit. That's embarrassing. I like a lychee teeny. A lychee martini is my favorite.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is you?
I'm a martini guy. I call it the Jewish James Bond because he just says shaken, not stirred. But mine is, I would like, you know, I name a really expensive vodka. And then I want it hashtag stupid cold. And then I explain a little dirty, possible blue cheese olives. If you don't have them, that's fine. Dead penguins on an iceberg. Kate Winslet on a door. No fingerprints left on the bartender's fingers. So he's unrecognizable by the FBI. And then there's a few more things that I've added, but I say all of that. And then the people write comments. Don't worry. But I like a martini now and then. But I would think you'd like a Manhattan now and then.
I like a Manhattan. You know, I don't know if I should be embarrassed about this contraption I just bought. And this is a free plug. It's called a Bartesian. Have you heard of this?
No. Is it a drunken person from Paris?
It's not a man. It's not a person. It's like a Keurig.
Mm-hmm. A Keurig. Yeah, I just read about that on your Twitter. You mentioned it.
Right, but it's for alcohol.
It's
a machine. Look it up. And I was a little trepidatious about it because how could that be good? But you fill up the canisters with all the different liquors, and it comes with pods for Manhattans, for a martini, for a tequila thing with
margarita.
Margarita, thank you. You put in the pod, and then it gives you the choice: strong, medium, you know, fucking wasted, and then you select your strength, and then it tells you what glass to put in, and it makes your cocktail, and they're good.
Now, seriously, you just did a commercial, so you should get at least a free one.
Am I stupid or what? I do this. I go on shows and I plug things without any sort of arrangement or a endorsement deal in
Maybe
place.
Maybe you could talk to your reps and explain what you just did on this podcast and just get one delivered. At least you'd get, or the mixers, at least you get that.
Well, now I'm gonna do that.
I think so. They don't have a skinny margarita. They can't do that, probably.
I believe they do.
Are you kidding?
No, I believe they have everything.
I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to get it. I did it too. Oh, no, I'm plugging it.
Well, now they're free.
They're free now. Anybody who mentions.
I want to go out and have a cocktail with you. I can't wait till we
can. No, we're going to. I want to also. I want to have some fun. And my wife wants to meet you. And it's just, we're coming out of it. You know?
Thank God. I can't wait. I'm really, really excited to be out there again. And once I hit the road, I'm going to be very emotional about it. I keep thinking about the first time I step on stage. And I have like that, you know, the music also really. And when there's a live band and they're playing our little overture and stuff, and then I walk out on the stage and I'm hit with that, I can't imagine that I won't get weepy.
You're going to. I did. I still do.
Really?
I still do, because I'm going into cities and opening their clubs and theaters. I opened like 5 places. And I opened the Hard Rock in Atlantic City and I started to cry. In Atlantic City?
Really?
Yeah, because people are back and they're able to go do it. And then you get to be part of it. And we've been wanting to do it.
Yeah, I know. Don't you feel that's so, I feel so fortunate to, like you said, to be able to be a part of that. What a special place to be that you can, be a part of bringing that back to people. It's amazing. And when I go see a Broadway show for the first time, forget it. I'm going to be nuts.
Oh my God. Do you have any tickets? Are you ready for anything?
I don't have any. I don't have a time for a ticket, but one of these days.
My friend Danny Burstyn is in Moulin Rouge. That would be fun. I could set you up.
I know Danny Burstyn too. How dare you?
I know everybody.
Of course I do. Danny bores me.
I know he does. In fact, I just saw it online. And if people don't know who Danny Burstyn is, he is one of the sweetest, most
amazing. Oh my God. He's sweet like you're sweet. He's like a real sweetheart. You two of you.
He breaks my heart. He's so sweet. And he had a rough year.
I know it. I know. I want to hug him.
I want to hug you. So when I'm in New York, if you're in the middle of all the work, I get it. But if you can escape for a drink or to hang out.
Say the word. I'm there for you. I'll drop everything.
What's the word? Is it like a safe word?
I don't know the word, but we'll come up with it.
Okay.
Just say it and I will be there.
Spiel.
Something Jewy like that.
Yeah.
And where I don't know where you'll be when I'm doing a show or anything, or where I'll be when you're doing a show, but please just let me know. And
I'm going to find you.
You always have tickets with your name on them in my box.
Ooh, we're going to get a free drink machine and each other's tickets.
We're getting free drinks too.
We will get free drinks.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to go to my meeting the next day for AA, but that's okay. I mean, I'll bring the machine.
We'll have free booze to hand out.
Well, I need to tell people while you're still talking to me that all they have to do is go to randyrainbow.com.
randyrainbow.com is where you get everything you need in this life.
I believe
tickets are on sale now, and they're going fast.
They're literally going fast everywhere. It's just sold out on so many shows, and people, I can't wait to see it. And I'm going to try to go see you where you don't have a show the next day, so we could go out afterward.
That'd be great. That'd be ideal.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I know how you show people are. Now, what do you do when Broadway calls and says, we want you in this theater for a year? Do you sign the contract?
I'm busy.
Your dream of all dreams.
No, when that happened, I mean, I got a call from, I told you I was a receptionist. I'll just close with this because I know you got to go. But
I had to tell you one more thing too.
And a receptionist in the Broadway production office when I was, you know, a child after Hooters. Tibby, stop it. My cat's getting crazy.
Your cat's a star. I mean, anybody follows you online.
She's stunning. But I've used my hands so much by this point. My
no,
mother
you didn't?
Turned the whole show off.
You truly didn't. I did really? Talk too much, though. And I know that people will say it, but I'm not going to read the comment.
Please, whoever's watching, do not attack my friend Bob Saget on my behalf. It's his show. He's gracious to have me on. He's the loveliest host, and I won't stand for it, please. But he did talk quite a bit. But that's fine. But when I was the receptionist in this Broadway production, from the main producer guy recently contacted my agents to see if I would be interested in talking about a Broadway run.
Yeah.
If that's not a Cinderella story, I'll eat one, as Elaine Stritch would say.
I will be there all the time. Hey, you'll be sold out all the time.
Oh God. Well, that's the ultimate dream. So I hope that happens one day.
Well, you better get ready because it's going to. And doing all these theaters, that's basically like taking a show out on the road and working it out in one theater, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
You could do that too. Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I voted for you for on the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
You did?
Yeah, you're nominatable for best short form.
Best short form. Yeah, it's tough competition this year because they threw, it used to be just, I think, comedy and variety.
Right.
This year it's short form, comedy, variety, drama, cooking, knitting, you know, it's everything.
I voted for two knitting ones and one vaccine demo, self-vaccining.
Yeah, well.
Whatever. So which vaccine did you get?
I got Pfizer.
That's supposed to be the best one because they make Viagra.
Right here every day. First it's Pfizer and then Moderna. And then it's Pfizer again and then it's Moderna. I don't know.
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson's gone through some trouble.
Are they still? Is it still not?
Apparently. I'm not up to speed on it. But they had trouble with their baby powder. And I used to use it on my balls.
See that? I did that a lot too, and then I stopped. Used it on your balls.
Yeah,
I did. I don't do baby powder anymore. It's not good, and it gets into your lungs.
It does because everything I inhale through my balls.
See, there's your promo right there.
That's our soundbite for the promo. I can't thank you enough for coming back on here,
Bob. I love you. I feel like I started strong. We were definitely more energized, but realize it's now after 10 here. And with my new, schedule with this quarantine, I usually go to bed at 8.
I didn't know that. That's why I gave you options.
No, I'm happy to do it. I'm actually getting a massage after I leave you.
Oh,
because I'm broken. So I'm having a night. I'm having a whole evening. I might even have a Bartesian. But I am starting to wind down now, so I don't want to bore your guests. But
no, you're not. It's all perfect.
I love you, And you're so lovely and supportive, and you just mean the world to me. And I can't wait to see you in person finally.
Randy, I wish you knew that I feel exactly the same way. So thank you. Thank you. You're just, I adore you. You're just a real gift of a person.
Love you.
Love you too. Say hi to the masseuse. Ask him if they are a fan of mine, or did they read the comments?
He wrote the comments. What do you mean read?
Tell the masseuse that you've been using your hands too much today.
I have to get rubbed down every time after I leave your show because I'm flapping constantly in the wind.
Have a great night, and thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Love to your mom.
Bye. Thank you.
That was the amazing Randy Rainbow. You've got to go to randyrainbow.com. You have to follow him on Twitter, Instagram. He is, he's delightful. And he's genuine and so super talented. And you'll be seeing a lot from him. You'll listen to the new podcast he's going to be starting with Sean Hayes. Go to randyrainbow.com and find out if he's in your city, because you will love his show. I can't wait to see it. I don't even know what it's going to be because it's all new. Thank you guys for listening. You know what to do. You rate, review, you subscribe. When you review, keep in mind, in the beginning, I did not talk as much. Look, I get excited. He gets quiet when he sees or talks to people that he likes in his life artistically. Sometimes I get effusive. So I'm just who I am. What are you going to do? I'm sending you guys a lot of love. And thank you for listening to Bob Saget's Here For You. And I wish you a really good day, or good night in the case of when we recorded this. Thanks, everybody. Be well.